So my point was to give us some ideas of what a soul tie looks like. Now I'm going to take it out to, remember how we're all connected to certain sins? Now Satan, he's very, very clever. And he wants you to tie you to mortal sins and the people that do mortal sins. That's why we pray for those people that are the cause of sin or great sin. What happens if we make a compromise with Satan? We give our authority over to him. So one of his snares is pornography. Do you remember when yesterday we were talking about King David and Bathsheba? The word Bathsheba means bathe. She was bathing. David first viewed Bathsheba bathing, and he committed the sin of his mind, which separated himself from God, to make it easier for him to sin with her physically. So his first sin was to watch her and lust for her in his mind by viewing. And then it led to him actually murdering Bathsheba's husband. So sin is progressive. It takes you from oops, I didn't mean to do that. What was that all about? To lusting and then committing a great sin. So he's got this thing called the internet that's a vehicle for us to sin and tie ourselves to those people that are on the other side that are promoting these. And it's very, very dangerous, and it's an epidemic that's rapid in the world because it's so easy and accessible. All you have to type up is porn, and it pops up. Free porn. How are they making money if it's all free? Right? Why would someone put something on with free? They've got a whole list of free porn, and then it says all the letters and documents. First you agree to this and agree to this, and then there's fine line, agree to this and this is, and then you hit access. So what we've discovered through doing this healing workshop, there's many young men and adults who out of curiosity clicked on these agreements. And what was a soul tie? To make an agreement with another person. How many people are connected to the pornography world? And all of a sudden, the person can't stop it, and they think they're a bad person. They're ashamed to go to confession because it's happening every week. But they've tied themselves to the porn industry. And it's a sexual addiction that like of heroin. And it's designed to capture the good men of this world. It's designed to make you feel that you do not deserve to go to confession because you keep on sinning and you don't understand why you keep on sinning. It's a very dangerous place. There are witch covenants that are set these are called internet shrines. What's a shrine? We know a Catholic shrine is a place that we go to worship. But what's happening when you have an internet porn shrine is you're worshiping the flesh of somebody else. You're objectifying somebody. We are using somebody, and it hooks us into something now we can't get out of, like heroin. We need a deliverance. We need to cut those ties for us to have a chance to fight. Right? It doesn't mean that we can't go into strip joints. We should never go. We have to avoid the mere occasion of sin. So for some of us men who have been damaged in this area, we've got to understand that maybe we can't be in a room alone with the internet if we want to avoid the mere occasion until we get some healing. And some people say, well, how do I heal from this? Because the memories are so intrusive, right? First, we need to cut it. We need to renounce it. We need to seek the sacrament of reconciliation. And then we need to apply the healing power of the Eucharist during adoration to have a healing effect on our memories. Because this is a cancer that's going to grow, and it's not going to take care of itself. You're not going to grow up out of this. This is what's capturing most men. And and it can attack your family, and it has a long-lasting effects. In Pittsburgh, there was a man who had a testimony, who testified during our Bishop's Jubilee Pentecost vigil, this Pentecost, and he got up there, 1,000 people up there, and he wanted to tell people about his porn addiction. He said when he was 4 years old, his father exposed him to pornography. He stumbled across it. Soul tie. He couldn't kick the porn. He thought maybe he grew up. He went to confession every week, and he could not kick this. His marriage was falling apart. They were going to therapy. His wife hated him. His wife thought that he was a terrible, sinful man. He felt he was a terrible, sinful man, too. He was so emotionally small. He also suffered a brain injury. He fell, and he hit his head, and he had suicidal thoughts. And he had this brain trauma that was also affecting him. And after he did the deliverance prayers, he wanted to testify. Because he said what he wasn't praying for his brain to heal. He felt that was going to heal, and that was his own fault he fell. But not only did he get cured from this brain injury, and the doctor gave him a clean bill of health, which was a surprise, it was a fruit, he said he was able to kick the porn habit. Because he was able to cut this with the cross of Jesus. And for the first time in his life, he was free from porn. It saved their marriage. They're no longer going to counseling. This wife is beaming with joy because she realized it wasn't her husband. It was Satan who was controlling her. Her husband was in jail. And this is what was happening. The husband's in jail. So you know how jail has bars. So the husband's in jail. And the wife comes up to him and says, "Honey, you're in jail." And he's like, "Yeah, I know I'm in jail." "Well, you know what you need?" "No, what do I need?" "You need a key." "Yeah, I know I need a key." "That's what you are. You're in jail. And until you get a key, you're going to..." Well, how is he going to know how to get out of that? He doesn't. Nobody's talking about this. Nobody knows about this. Why does nobody know about this? Sin is contagious. And if we allow Satan to imprison us, we stay in prison. Until we can come to the idea that Jesus has the key and that there's a way to get out. And the first key is confession. We have to seek reconciliation. We have to come to terms. This is why Christ died. Christ died to set us free. And then we need to renounce these things and take the cross of Jesus and put it in between us and all those people that tied us to that sin. So what I would do as a man, instead of like trying to think of all the names of the different pornography that I had viewed when I was young, is I would just put porn or pee for pee or you know, just I would get very vague here, because Jesus knows you want to be set free. You don't have to remember the names here in this area if you don't know the names. But you need to place something down where God knows that you want to get rid of this tie. And then seek sacrament of reconciliation. And us men who are here, this is our weakness. We were made to multiply and produce. So Satan's attacking us on our weakness. So there's no shame in the sin, because Jesus died for us so he could save us from this, because he knew that we were going to get duped into this. So we should be more ashamed if we don't seek reconciliation. But Satan wants to shame us that, oh, all the other dads are not doing production. If I have many priest friends, and this is the biggest sin of men, is that we lust and we see images and we're bombarded. Satan has set up his battle on us viewing women objectively, like objects, right? So we're really at a loss if we can't come to terms that this is where we're weak. If we don't shape up and come to terms and say, okay, this is where we're weak. All men are weak here. We need to bring this confession. If we choose to hide it, Satan would take that pure intention. What's a pure intention? to multiply, to produce life. That's the pure intention with my wife. So Tatum takes that pure intention into a sexual orientation, takes all the love and all the consequences out, and brings you on this road that could branch out into other things. He perverts what's good, a good desire, into different things. To the fact where we're going down this road of diversion. And this is why we see the world where there's confusion on their identity and what they think is attractive. Satan wants to destroy your identity. So it can lead into a really, really bad area. And it's contagious. So it needs to be on our list. Okay, next. So we're both spiritual and physical. So when we handle the spiritual, we see over and over again that the physical comes together. But we first have to handle the spiritual side. And a lot of people, including myself, would demand a healing from God. How can I demand a healing from God when I don't even want to get right with His commandments? So I have to come to terms with if I want a healing, I have to get rid of the junk that's preventing me from coming closer to God. And there's the conversion. It's the conversion, then the healing is a fruit of conversion. And any pinch of salt. So what are the compromises in my life that I've made? Like as a father, I had no idea that the internet was so fragile. I mean, I thought maybe I was the weakness, and then I didn't realize that you don't need a lot of time to be on the internet for my sons. But if I ever thought that I was the best defense to the purity of my children, I would have done a lot of things different as a young father. I had no idea. And then I remember when Joy and I first moved in, we had computers in the boys' room. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if I would ever thought that that's where they would have gone. I always thought, okay, I'm a bad person, so I knew I would do this, but not my kids. A lot of moms are like, well, not my boys. They would think this. We have to protect our children. So we got this thing called Net Nanny. Does anyone know about Net Nanny? I thought that was the best thing. And we went a year on Net Nanny, and we paid them monthly. I had no idea that my sons were smarter than Net Nanny. They were smarter than Net Nanny. They programmed their computers to accept before the date before Net Nanny. So they reset their computers before Net Nanny was even programmed onto the computer. There's also this thing called Incognito on your computer. So you can search things incognito. They might as well call it hide from your parents, right? Because you search the history, and I was like, oh, no, Joy would say, did you check the kids' computers? Did you check the kids' cell phones? Not Talon. Okay, I'm not talking about Talon. Or Talon. Not Lucas. Lucas is good. But before we knew that there was such a danger, we would check the history, and the kids were always really good to stay on top of erasing their history and being incognito when they would look at bad stuff. As parents, we need to be smarter. It got to the point where I said, enough's enough, and I pulled the internet from my family. But my older kids were so addicted that while I was away at work, they drilled a hole in my wall. Yes, from one room, and they put the wires through the wall and connected into my computer directly because there was no internet. There was no Wi-Fi.
You're not giving this talk to the teens this week, are you?
I need someone to tell people to give this talk to teens. I think all the families need to be, when I first came into this, when they asked me to do this, and they said we were going to be in a tent, I said, no, I need all the families, and I need all the kids, and we need to do this all together because it's so important. And they said, well, you know, they said they don't know how everyone's going to react. So you guys are really the guinea pigs for Catholic Family Land. I need you to talk to the other people to say this is a good thing that everybody needs to do, because at the end, the fruit will show. People need to talk about this. If we don't talk about it, it's like we don't have a plan. You're in battle whether you like it or not. You are fighting for your family's souls. So you need to know how to fight. You need to know what's out there. This, when I started doing this healing worship, I had no idea of internet shrines, porn shrines. I had no idea something so evil could be out there. That they would be actually made by witches to enslave our men and women. They were doing, I used to think that porn was just for boys and they would grow out of it. There's new test studies that show that girls are equally addicted to pornography. And if we don't come to that realization and start closing off these doors, we're going to have to pay for it. We're all going to have to pay for it. This is a wake-up call. It's out there. They want our kids. Satan hates us. He hates us so much. And his aim is to capture us in our pleasures, in our desires, and pervert them, and then trap us in those desires. This is the reason why we're having identity crisis with kids. And kids think that they should have been a boy or they should have been a girl. Because it's so out there. You don't even have to look for it anymore. It's blatant. And if we don't become informed, and if we don't fight it, and this is how you fight it. I'm talking from experience. I am not an exorcist. I am not a theologian. I am a dad. I am like a private who's been in battle, who's saying, there's a mind over here, there's a mind over here. You don't have to listen to me, but I've been there. And I've seen my kids deal with demons. And I've had to go into the depths of hell to pull them out. And it's not pretty. It's not pretty. And I don't want any family to have to go through what our family had to go through. In a little bit, we're going to be talking about what we had to go through. But for right now, I'm just giving you enough for you to get through today. And today we're going to end with unhealthy soul ties. And we're going to take those two pieces of paper and we're going to say some prayers to come to an end.
I think it will be helpful about the cell phone, what they can do with their...
Oh, okay. Let me talk to you about something. Okay, I'm going to show you something. This is a good visual. This blew me away. And not enough people are talking about this. What is this? This is a cross, right? What happens if this piece of wood gets blessed by a priest? It becomes a sacramental, right? And it's holy. Is it still holy if I go to South Carolina? Will it carry its blessing? How about if I go up to New York? Will it carry its blessing? What happens if I take it to Canada with Justin Trudeau? Will it carry its blessing there? It will. Okay, that's a cross, right? Okay, you got that in your head? What is this? It's a smartphone. What happens if I open up a portal to the demonic and start viewing pornography on this device? What does that become? Is it the opposite of a blessing? It's cursed. It's a portal to Satan now. Does it maintain its portal when I take it in the church? Yes. Does it maintain a satanic portal if I bring it to South Carolina? Does it get better if I take it to Canada? No. So why are we not getting our phones exercised? Why are we not getting our computers blessed? Why are we surprised when we have pocket porn and we take the phone from our kids and ground them for a week and then we give them the cursed item back and says, now don't do it anymore? Is that going to work? That's an open portal. Just like this carries the blessing. If it's desecrated, it needs to be consecrated. It blew my mind when the priest told me that. So just to be safe, I take all our cell phones and all our computers, and once a month I bring it to our spiritual director and say, have at him. He never questions me. He says, okay. And he exercises them. I don't have to ask the boys anymore. I don't want to shame anybody, but I don't want any open portals in my houses. You know, there's times where we work with an exorcist. There's times where we have to go into someone's house that there's a demonic manifestation. There's a ghost or something that needs to be delivered. And in every situation, it's because some great sin has happened in the place, and the place is cursed. Somebody's died. Maybe there was an affair. Some great sin, and then the whole place needs to be exorcised because there's demons there. It's an open portal. What are we talking about? We're talking about five gates. You have three gates. One, unforgiveness. Two, fear and trauma. Three, unhealthy soul ties. Open gates, open portals that the enemy can access our castle. Just as like it would access a house. Or a cell phone, or a computer, where great sin has been done on. Where are the areas I need to close in my life so I don't have any obstacles between me and Jesus? Because if we're infested with this, if I carry a cross with me all the time, I feel blessed. But if I have an open portal on me, do I feel blessed? Satan gets us in our ignorance. He gets us so we don't think about these things. When we get to the occult, I'm going to start telling you what's the occult, what's New Age. And a lot of times people are like, oh my gosh, I never thought about that. Oh, I tried the Ouija board, but you know, nothing happened, so I didn't think it was a big deal. It's amazing what Satan will do, the lie to tell you that these things are no big deal, no big deal, no big deal. I viewed porn, no big deal. We want to take care of those access points, close them off, renounce them, confess them, get those items that we need to be blessed for our family's safety. It's just not about the internet. It's about blessing those computers. Get those computers, get those open access, whatever is evil, get it out of your house. Because Satan is trying to figure a way to get your kids. There's many, many good Catholic parents that are frustrated. They have no idea why their kids went astray. Because there's so many open doors that we just don't know about. In our ignorance, we succumb to these things because it's normal. Right? Satan has to be normal. And so there's an image of one of the crosses that I made that's actually in Pittsburgh. I don't know if you can see it. But there's an image here with Jesus in the middle. And the two people on either side, you're asking Jesus to divide you from any soul ties. So that's the image I want you to picture when we go through our prayers. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, Becky. Grab Becca. Right, we're going to talk about generational ties, and or generational consequences. That's a very good question. The question is, can these soul ties be in existence with generational consequences? The answer is yes. And sometimes these access doors, these gates, are overlapping, right? And like the testimony of the man in Pittsburgh who gave his testimony where he was freed from his pornography addiction. It was a soul tie a generational tie from his father who exposed him, who had opened the door and gave permission from Satan. That it's called a familial spirit. It carries on from one generation to the next generation. And that familial spirit thinks it has authority because the patriarch is the one who gave the permission to come into the family castle. So what I love is when I'm doing this workshop and I see dads. You guys are awesome. Because the dads are the ones like Abraham, like Jacob, like Isaac, like Israel, who come in and speak for their whole family. So if you've got a dad, if your husband, I want you to give them a round of applause that they're here. Okay? They are the number one king of the castle who can close these doors for the rest of the family. And the older that they are, oh my goodness. I mean, I remember I was trying to get my dad to do a healing workshop over and over and over again. You know how like a prophet's never welcome in his hometown? He's like, God. And I would always say, Dad, why don't you do this? We had like an outbreak of healing when my dad did it. I have to admit that I struggled with my weight up until my mom and dad did this, and then they all of a sudden lost weight, and then I started losing weight. So I had a I don't tell this to people. I used to be 350 pounds. That's like two of me. I was a size 44 waist, 4X shirt, and it was popping, and I was embarrassed. I would be embarrassed to speak in front of people. But when I broke that generational curse that everyone in our family was big, so I'm going to be big, and when that was broken, I started losing weight, and I wasn't even on a diet. I just started losing weight because a curse was broken. And now I'm a size 34 pant size. I wasn't even 34 when I was in high school. I think I might have been 34 when I was born. I was a just really chubby kid. But because that generational consequence was broken, I was able to lose weight in a healthy way. And how many people suffer from things like you tried one diet after another. I don't know how many. I tried Weight Watchers. I tried everything. And I could never lose weight because there was something that needed to be broken. And when my dad said those prayers, boom, did that help us out. So as fathers, I really thank you for the patience to listening to another dad tell you what happened to our family. I really, really appreciate. And if you can do, tell other people, especially the staff here, if this is resonating with you, so that it gives other families opportunities to set their families free, to prepare them for that battle that we're already in. Does anybody have any other questions before we start the prayer? Yes, Karen. Amen. So Karen was saying that this is the exact thing that she felt that needs to be addressed in these times right now. And I appreciate you saying that. The whole area, what we're all dealing with. Because there's a lot of good holy families that are coming. We don't realize what we're up against. We have no idea what we're up against. And it is a shame. Yes, Mark. Oh, I'm glad you said that. Okay, so Mark has a good question about how do you handle with other people that you have no control of that are bringing their own cell phones into the house? It is true that everybody wrestles with demons, every one of us. Even the good priests are wrestling probably even more because Satan, if I was Satan, I would attack the priests and I would put 20 demons on the bishops, right? So we're all carrying something. What I do when I have people come over to my house, regardless, I don't take any chances, I bless the house before and after I have visitors. And you know, it's really a good sign. If you're married and you have a wife and you're a man, you're going to notice that your wife's antenna, spiritual antenna, is a lot larger than yours. My wife will know if something's up in the house way before me. In fact, I'll be sleeping around 12 a.m., and she'll say, you need to bless the house. My stomach is rolling all over. You need to bless the house. And I'm like, why couldn't you have told me like at 10 o'clock before I went to bed? But the wives have this spiritual antenna that the men don't have. You women, and most of the time I do the workshops. I do these workshops and it's packed with women. No men. No men. After we get through like this part, the unhealthy size, the next day there's men, but they come in like this. Because I'm sure the women said, if you don't go, you sleep on the couch, right? So they're like this. And then we get to the unhealthy soul ties, and I'm talking about the ex-girlfriend. And then they're like, you know, because there's only one truth. It's just how we present it. And most of us haven't been presented this truth. I'm going to share with you just a little bit of this on the fourth. The fourth is the occult. And I'm going to tell you the reason, the catalyst of why we're doing what we're doing. One of our children, not the children here. Children here are good. And in the boy I'm talking about is good too. But he dabbled into something like what we've been talking about. He opened too many gates to his castle, and he needed a deliverance. And for 3 years in the church, we had to go through a deliverance process. And it was scary. And in the end, he won. But I don't want any other parent to have to suffer like we had to suffer. Because in our ignorance, we did not know what he was getting into. Right? These doors that our kids are opening will have lifelong effects if we don't take Satan at task and take him in battle. If we don't decide to draw a line and say no more, he will take our kids. He's all too willing to take our kids into our families. But we have to first know that we're in battle, and then we have to know who we're fighting, and we have to close these doors, and we have to kick them out. And this is why we're doing this. The catalyst of why we're doing this, so nobody has to go and bring their kid through an exorcism. Rock. Okay. So what your question mark was that what I do when I have visitors over is I bless my house. I actually seal my house with holy exorcised salt. And if you don't know what exorcised salt is, I've got some literature on exorcised salt. I sealed this area with exorcised salt blessed by our exorcists before we could, so we didn't have any retaliation while we were talking about what we're talking about. Because Satan, he doesn't want anybody here. He doesn't want anyone to know about this. In fact, he wants to convince you that he does not exist. That this is just a bunch of, you know. But I've been doing this for far too long to ever come to the conclusion that he doesn't exist. I've seen too many evidences. And whenever he shows his ugly head, it's just before he's being ready to get kicked out. You know, he screams real loud and then he's gone. Because he is just a creature. His goal is to, first of all, to be hidden, to lay dormant. And then when you go to battle with him, to scream and try to scare you to stop praying just before he's kicked out. Because he doesn't have any authority. Your biggest spiritual weapon is to know who you are. You are a child of God. Even if you're a bad prince or a bad princess, if a prince or princess walk away, they're still a prince. You still got to do what the king's kid says. Right? So when you start to understand who we are and what Jesus died for and what our true value is, there is no reason for fear. There is no reason for us not to win. We are victorious in the blood of Jesus. He won the battle. He does the battle. We just have to submit to his authority. We got to get right and reconcile with God, because it's truly our relationship with Jesus that's going to fortify us in this fight. It's all about a relationship. So we want to reconcile with God. We want to reconcile with God the Father. That's why we're doing this extreme illumination of conscience. We're pulling no punches. He's always looking for a foothold in our life, a place where we compromise. So when I go to God and I say, God, please help my sick daughter. Please help my sick daughter. Satan, the accuser, doesn't come up and say, nah, nah, nah. He played the Ouija board. He never confessed that. See where Satan comes in? He's not the accuser. Jesus wants to give us the blessing. Satan comes with true negative facts to say they don't deserve it. They've made a compromise. They've given away their authority. I own them. They don't want to go to confession. You can't say anything, Jesus. So that's his goal, is to come in when you go to the throne room of heaven and we don't understand why we're not receiving our healing or why our prayers aren't being answered. What are the consequences? We need to pray about what are the things. Am I afraid of something? Have I not forgiven something? Have I made an unhealthy soul tie with somebody? What are those things that I've compromised that affects my relationship with God? And if I can come by and I can reconcile those things, there's a real good conversion. And now that we are more like Jesus in our imitation of Christ, God bestows blessings upon his sons. He exalts the humble. So when we humble ourselves before the throne room of God in the sacrament of reconciliation, he's all too willing. The problem is most of us like myself, haven't really made a real thoughtful confession. I'm usually going in there, and I got 5 minutes before I confess. What did I do? What did I do? And I'm not really thinking about what I did. So I'm not having a real good conversion. I am conversion. God still accepts it. I was honest, so God will give me graces, but I'm not going deep enough. If you want mountains to be moved in your life, you have to dig deep. We've lived a long time, so there are a lot of things that we need to write down so that we are freed of those things. So Satan can't come and accuse us while we go and petition our Lord. So any questions? Yes. Well, we just got done doing a recording series at Franciscan University that hasn't been released yet. We have a website. Zipper now? Oh, there it is. Yeah. If anyone needs a card, you can go to our website and you can follow our family. We travel the United States and Canada, and we hold that information on our website of how to get a hold of us, how to pray with us, how to get this workshop in your parish. And so you want to go to Joyful Hope TV. In fact, if you get your blessed phones out right now, okay, you're going to do this with me. This would be a gift that you could do for our family. You're going to go, so everyone get onto their phone and go to YouTube. Everyone has a YouTube app. It's the red one. So you go to that YouTube app. And I type in Joyful Hope TV. Joyful Hope TV. And then click on that. And you'll see a picture of our family in the perfect storm and a superhero picture of us in superhero outfits. Do you see that? Joyful Hope TV. It looks like that. Joyful Hope TV. Now click on subscribe. And I'm going to watch the buttons go from 268 on up. Click on subscribe. My wife runs Joyful Hope TV, and we need subscribers. We do little videos on spiritual warfare, about healing, about the church, about current situations, about real life scenarios that we're dealing with teenagers. We also talk about the church crisis. And it's a great way to keep in contact with our family and about where we're going next. Because we believe we become so vulnerable to you that we're family. You guys are going to know us better than we know you. So we'd love to get to know you too. But if you go on Joyful Hope TV, that's where you can keep track of us and where we're at. You can also sign up to us on Facebook. Okay, so you want to click on your account. Use your YouTube signed out. There it is. Oh, yeah. Well, you got it. You got Joyful Hope TV. You did Joyful Hope TV. See that there's a subscribe button? No, that's good. You know, and the, there you go. Yeah. Subscribe. Oh, you are subscribed. You subscribed. You're subscribed. You were already subscribed. Wow, that's funny. Okay. Oh, there it is. Can you play this one?
No.
It's a testimonial one? Okay, this one. If you can hear this? Where's the mic? Turn it. Go back. Is the volume up on the TV? 95, 90, 100%. Okay. Boom. Okay. Okay, here's Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Today I talked to a man who works here at Catholic Family Land. And they told me, you got to talk to Will. You got to talk to Will. And when I sat down and I talked to Will said, I'm not Catholic. I felt that I was kind of forced to do this workshop. And if I didn't do it, I'd get fired. But I didn't want to lose my job, so I did the workshop. And I was very skeptical. He was the Will that was up on this man. He said he was skeptical. He said he started writing down all the people who had hurt him. And then when he realized he had a page and a half of people, he's like, wow, I got a lot of stuff. He said he was doing the deliverance prayers, and he was sitting right behind Joy, where he heard a pop in his hand. Now, he shows me his hand, and one hand is shorter than the other. He said at 9 years old, he got ran over, and his arm broke up, and it went over the bone, and it destroyed the nerves. He called it his limp hand. His limp hand. Now, if you see Will out here, ask him to show you his hand. You can see the scar. He said he could not use his hand, but when he did the deliverance prayers, it went pop. And the next day he was using his hand with no pain. It was functioning. Unbelievable. And everyone attests that, and I think that was one of the reasons why they brought me here, because God is faithful. When we come to him with a contrite heart, he wasn't even Catholic. That's the first thing he told me. I'm not Catholic, and I was skeptical, but I was obedient. What did you think about the obedience, the power of obedience? St. Peter, before he was St. Peter, remember John 6:6:6? Jesus said, you have to eat my flesh, you have to drink my blood, and everyone's like, whoa, that's way too much. And they said, is that what you really mean? He goes, no, you got to gnaw on it. You got to gnaw on my flesh. And then everyone started like walking away. You know, this guy's crazy. I know he made all that bread and the loaves and the fish, but boy, I'm not going to eat what he's serving now. And he goes up to Peter and says, Peter, are you going to leave me too? Peter scratches his head and says, I don't know how I'm going to eat your flesh, but where else am I going to go? I don't get it. But I'll be obedient. What was his reward? His obedience. He was our first pope. Satan says, I will not serve. Peter says, you got the answer, the eternal life. Where else am I going to go? And in his obedience, this man who's not Catholic said the prayers. He put his whole heart into it. And God showed up. And he healed him. And you know what? It's just a fruit. It's not the end result. His end result is The conversion, that's the important part, is he is converted now. He told me he wasn't Catholic. Well, guess what he's open to now? He's open to being Catholic. And that doesn't end all, because we're all connected, right? So what did he do? When he got healed, he ran to his wife, who was at home, who didn't participate in the workshop. And he was so excited. She said, well, what did you do? He goes, here, take these 5 pieces of paper. Write out everyone you need that hurts you. And he goes, now, write down all your fears. And she goes, okay, okay. Now, she had a back problem, slip disc, and she wore a back brace. So he wrote all 5 access out. And then the wife said, well, what do we do now? She was a fallen away Catholic. She goes, what do I do now? And he goes, I don't know. I don't have the prayers. He goes, well, what did you do? He said, well, we ripped up the pieces of paper. Okay, let's give this to Jesus. And they ripped up the first piece of paper. And then they ripped it. Jesus, we give you all our fears. And she ripped up the second piece of paper. Jesus, we give you all our healthy relationships. And she was healed of her back. She doesn't wear a back brace. Now, this was God taking me out of the box that I had to heal a certain way. But the end result is she was ready to convert her life over to God and do whatever was asked of her, just like Mary when Jesus said, do whatever he tells you. What did she do? She did whatever her husband told her. And God honored it. He honored it, and she was healed. And it's amazing. Lucas wants to testify. This is my 18-year-old Lucas.
Hi. I'm Lucas, so yeah, you know that. But when I was born, it was emergency C-section, so I was dying, and like Dad, he was panicking, and he's like, Lord, I offer him up to you. And even though the doctors had said, no, it's impossible for him to survive, he still had that faith that God could do all things. And in that faith, I started crying, and I was instantly got better. And so, and my dad, he was holding me, and he's like, okay, I'm going to name this child. And so he wrote down Luke Skywalker.
Okay, I'm dating myself there, okay.
Yeah. And after a little while, the nurses came in, and they line up in front of my dad, and they're like, nah. There's no way you're going to be doing that to your wife. You're going to change his name now. And that's a come on, like now. And so my dad scribbled out. So on my birth certificate, it says Luke Skywalker scribbled out Lucas Benjamin Noah. So that's my name now. Then, as you know, my family suffered through a divorce. And because of the divorce, I suffered from an emotional trauma, which my brain developed, I think it's called asphyxia, where I can't articulate anything what I want to say. My brain doesn't connect to my tongue. And so I would scream, I'd cry, no one could understand me, and I was just struggling so much to get people's attention, and because of the divorce, I had a big wound with rejection, and I wanted everyone to love me, and I was always fearing, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, nobody wants me, and so I would destroy things, like, pay attention to me, look, I'm suffering, I'm in pain. Since I couldn't communicate to them, they didn't understand, and they got angry, which deepened my wounds. And now, I don't remember this, but my dad and my grandparents say that I would run after random women in stores, at church, in parks crying out mommy, which was like the only thing I could say. And I'd be like, mommy, mommy. And with each rejection, my wounds got deeper. And it wasn't until one day that I chased after one woman and I was like, mommy, and she in turn called me Anak, which means son in Tagalog, and she is my mom now. Thank you, mom. And so she realized that I was having trouble talking, and not only that, I was having trouble hearing. I wasn't hearing properly. And so she took me to the doctor, and they diagnosed me with aphasia, and I was also going deaf. And mom was like, well, is there any way we could fix this, like stop this from happening? And the doctor was like, no, you just wait for it to play out. By the time he actually starts talking, it would be around the age 12 to 15, but that would just be baby talk. And mom was like, no. No, no, that's not going to happen to my son. And so she took me and started, she bought all these books, and she started teaching me how to read. And all that time, she was with me. And as my mom said, she had fibromyalgia. So she was in constant pain the whole entire time she was with me, when she could have been spending it resting. She spent that time with me, offering that pain up for my healing, and she was on her knees praying for my healing. Then the day came I was healed, and I started talking around the age 6 to 7. Perfectly. And I could hear perfectly. So, also, later down the road, I developed ADHD, anxiety, and I was also still very destructive. And so we were traveling around going to healing masses, trying to get my grandmother healed, like my dad said. We would drag her around the United States. And at one of them, my mom was like, Lucas, go up there. Go get a healing. I'm like, I don't need a healing. And she's like, get up there. And I went up there, and I realized, because I was obedient, I was healed. If I was disobedient, I would still have ADHD. I would still have anxiety. I would still be destructive. And in my obedience, I was healed. And everything that was wrong with me, God turned it around. And so now I'm working for Him with my family in this ministry, helping other people to bring them closer to God, which is just an amazing thing. And I know before my healing, I would never have wanted to do this. This idea for me was like impossible to do. And so, for my ADHD, like, instead, how I said God turned things around, that I was able to devote all that energy into working, helping, and my destructiveness, I was able to turn into constructiveness, where I would create things. I would draw, make stories, I'll play music, and would sing, and I create instead of destroy. And so all of this is pretty much thanks to mom and dad and God, especially God.
Amen. So on Lucas has done all the artwork for our workshop, so when you see the cartoons, that's from Lucas. Lucas is also a very good piano and singer, and he sang with me. Lucas is very, very talented, and I want y'all to pray, just like that little boy came up with the snake and helped us out. I want to pray for Lucas, especially in his discernment to be a priest. If we could just offer up a Hail Mary right now for Lucas. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lucas. Thank you, Lucas. So before we do these prayers, does anybody have any questions that they want to take care of before we've got one question? Okay. Yes. Okay. Okay. I'm glad you said that. So a lot of times we feel helpless with our teenagers that are 18 and above. You still, as a parent, are a spiritual authority over their life, and whether they acknowledge that or not is irrelevant. In fact, you don't even need them to love you, for you to love them and offer up sacrifices for them. You do a great deed when you pray for your children, and you pray for their conversions first. Then you can bless them with everything. Always pray for their conversion. My spiritual director told me that St. Monica actually did St. Augustine harm because she was saving him and rescuing him all the time. His conversion might have happened a lot sooner if he suffered his consequences. So we always want to pray for our children's conversions, not safety and their wealth. Those things that could take them away from God, we would just want to pray for our conversions of our children and then offer them up. You have a great, because that bungee cord effect, you bungee cord your children and then you pray. You pray on your knees. And if it doesn't work, you know it works. You don't buy into the lie that it doesn't work. You keep on praying. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed till the blood ran from his sweat. So until we've done that, we haven't prayed enough. Right? Amen? Amen. What was the other question? Okay, that's a good
point.
Okay. I'm glad you said that. Okay, here's the question. And I'm glad you said it because it's a very, very big thing that happened in our family because we come from two families merging together. The question was, is what kind of authority do I have when I've adopted my child and that child is not really biologically mine? Well, that's what happened to us. Remember? And Joy went to Father Anthony at EWTN and he says, but because we're one flesh, what is yours is his and his is mine. But now we're talking about adoption. Satan is a legalist. He's like a bad lawyer, not a good lawyer, right? He's like a bad lawyer, and he has to abide by the contracts in the legal... He's a legalist. So if you are legally the one who adopted your son, it's an identity issue he's trying to wrestle with. He's trying to give you the lie that you're really not, and there's more tied to the biological. So what we do in this prayer is we claim our parenthood over our child. We claim that authority in the name of Jesus. The lie is the birth mother is the authority because that's where the biological. But because Christ has blessed you with the adoption, just like Jesus, we are adopted sons and daughters of Jesus, you are claiming the precious blood over your children. So you claim their inheritance is from you and from Christ. And it's a spiritual battle. So it's going to be a conflict. It's not going to be easy. But these are some of the lies that Satan has told you, that the biological bond is greater. And I know this from experience, because as I said, when my son needed exorcism, and he was manifesting in a church, he was my adopted son, and when the priest couldn't control him, I would say, son, sit down. And he sat down. And I asked the priest, I said, he never listens to me, but now he listens to me. He says, because you are his dad. Spiritually, I was his dad, and I was commanding him to do something. I was really his dad. And the demons had to acknowledge that. It's about knowing who you are. It's not about who we think we are. It's knowing who we are and claiming that in Jesus' name. So it's a battle in the mind. So the lie is I'm not effective in prayer because they're adopted. That's where you apply the truth of the blood of Christ on your kids. And it's effective. Always know that it's effective. You're winning this battle. You know how you know you're winning? You're here. You're engaged. You're engaged in the battle. You're preparing for battle. You're going to go home more prepared for battle than you've ever been before in your whole life. You are going to go home and you're probably going to challenge your priest to up the ante. Why aren't we talking about this? Why don't I have holy salt or exercise salt in my house? I need my computers blessed. He's going to say, where'd you learn all this stuff? You can give him my card. I'll tell him. I'm okay. I'll say you need to have us at your parish. Because everybody needs to know this. We are coming into the era of peace. And we're winning. We are winning. The enemy's on the run. Because we're ready to fight. Are you ready to fight?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Let's do this.
Should everybody see the screen?
No. There. No. Yeah, well, we can do it now because we're on a time schedule. Okay. Let me give you just 5 minutes to write down anything. Let the Holy Spirit. I'm going to see if I can find Father Scott. So, thank you. We can't find Father Scott right now, and that's okay. Father Scott was in an emergency situation with one of the people here. And that's understandable. When you're in battle, you get one of your generals who has to take care of the flock. So Father left the 99 to go after the one, and we can't blame Father for that. But that just means that we'll start tomorrow, and we'll do keep your papers, fold them, and keep them, and we'll do those prayers for those sheets in tomorrow, 2 o'clock, 2 to 5. So it's 2 to 5, not 3 to 5, 2 to 5. Meet us in the tent. We'll take care of those prayers, and then we'll do the last parts of the workshop so that you got all 5 different access points, 5 different gates closed. Amen?
Amen.
So let's end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, I just thank you. I glorify you. I praise you, Papa God. You are so gracious and good to us to keep us in your bosom, to wrap us with your mother's mantle of love. And we ask you to protect the families here. Put a hedge of protection around them as they go back to their families, and help them be healing vessels of your love so that others may get to know you as their good Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, we just thank you now and forever. Glory be to the Father and the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, guys. You did awesome.